The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to episode 104 of the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux, and today I am joined by both Brian Joyner and Matt Collins of Over the Monster for our first podcast of the new year. Gentlemen, welcome back to the pod.
Happy 2019th birthday to America.
I thought it was the 2019th birthday of Jesus inventing America.
Well, same thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Seems to be a lot of confusion about the date the country was founded here, but aside from that, it sounds like you guys are doing pretty well. All right, so let's jump right into it. Red Sox have announced 10 non-roster invitees to spring training. We have a little bit of spring training news here. Catchers Juan Centeno and Oscar Hernandez are going to be invited, as well as newly signed outfielder Gorkys Hernandez, infielder Tony Renda, who got a little bit of time last year, and then pitchers Zach Putnam, Erasmo Ramirez, Carson Smith, who's back with the team, Josh Smith, Domingo Tapia, and Ryan Weber. Guys, any thoughts on this group of non-roster invitees? Anyone particularly grab your attention here? We'll go with Matt first.
No, this is like the most boring group of players of all time. But I think the thing that stands out the most to me is that Bryce Prince isn't on the list, because they did sign him with a invite to spring training, but they haven't announced it yet, which is kind of weird, but I'm assuming that'll happen soon. I guess of the players that are mentioned, Putnam's the one I'm most interested in. He's been good for a few years in the past. He, pretty sure was hurt last year and pretty ineffective, so maybe he can be something, but probably not.
Yeah, he didn't pitch at all in 2018. He had an elbow injury that he was working through. He only pitched 27 innings in 2016, but they were good innings in 2016. And he had an excellent year in 2014. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm not expecting much out of him. I think I was a little surprised that Carson Smith, though, is back with the team. It seemed like things didn't end all that well with the team and him. I'm a little surprised he's back.
You know, I would have bet my life savings that Matt was going to say Carson Smith, and he didn't. Good thing I didn't. But I
have gotten you like
that. Well, but the only reason I thought of Matt is you wrote about it. It's not like I
wrote about Zach Putnam too.
All right, that's fair. But you talk about Carson Smith since you wrote about it.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I think we all remember he got hurt throwing his glove at the bench because he was mad. And then after he got hurt, he kind of blamed Alex Cora for using him too much. And Alex Cora didn't really come out and say how pissed off he was, but you could read between the lines. And you could tell he didn't really like it. So I don't really know why they brought him back. I guess they still think he can be something. There's some mythical upside with him because of what he was in 2015, but I don't know. I'm pretty much done with him. It's a minor league deal, so there's no risk. It's whatever, but I really don't expect anything.
Out of all these guys, Gorkys Hernandez was the one that I was kind of the most surprised about, though, even signing with the team, because it seems like there's almost no way that this guy's going to get any playing time with the Red Sox. And he got substantial run last year with the Giants. I mean, he played in 142 games, 15 home runs. I mean, not a great line by any means, but someone who could be a backup outfielder for a team. It's hard to even see him getting to that point with this club.
I mean, it's only one injury away. The Red Sox were... Everything went right for the Red Sox last year, but one of the big things was that he didn't really get hurt too much, and especially the outfield stayed incredibly healthy. One injury to this outfield, and things are really grim in the upper levels of the minors, so... I kind of understand it. I guess he probably maybe could have gotten a better job somewhere, but A, I'm sure he has an opt-out at the end of spring training, and B, even if he stays with the team, he's in a good organization, and like I said, there's a chance he can come up and then maybe get a ring, and then he's got time to sign another deal somewhere else next year.
Yeah, I was going to mention the ring. That seemed to me to be it's not like guaranteed by any means, but a player like him, and I think I talked about this a lot in our year-end recaps, where a lot of the things with these players, that the most notable thing that they did wasn't so much what they did, that they were able to do it for this team, and they were able to be part of a championship-winning team and get a ring and get paid for it. And for Gorky, for him, this has got to be great. Because if this is the best thing he can get, you couldn't be in a better position. And for the Red Sox, if they're getting a guy like him, it is for such depth that you have no problem signing Gorkys Hernandez. If they hadn't won the World Series just now, maybe we'd be fretting, like, oh my God, then this is over the top. But we don't have to worry about that. Because the Red Sox did.
True. I'm drinking water out of my Red Sox World Series champion pint glass right now. So those memories are fresh. Did you guys get any World Series swag for Christmas?
I got a hat.
Nice.
I literally got nothing from my immediate family for Christmas.
Well, that is...
My wife is Jewish, and she got me some Hanukkah presents, so it's the same thing. Oh. But it was very strange on Christmas to wake up and be like, you can get me.
Yeah, but I got a beer that's 12% alcohol.
By the way, Jake.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Santa isn't real.
Ooh.
And this is how I found out, because nobody brought me
anything. This is shocking. I don't know if I can continue the podcast at this point. Wow, Santa. Let me ask you a question about Gorkys, though, before we move on to our next subject. Is he or is he not still with the organization by opening day? Brian, what do you think?
I mean, I just think yes out of just the fact if he is now, I would say it's as likely opening day is probably not as likely than not, but it's more likely to be him than a different trip. Yes.
Okay. What do you think, Matt?
What was the question? Team or organization?
Org.
Yeah, because I don't even know if he has an opto.
Okay.
So I guess the odds are, yeah. But.
All right, so... Maybe the most prominent Red Sox news as of late has been all the rumors circulating about what reliever the Red Sox may add. One of the relievers that they were looking closely at was David Robertson, who signed today with the Philadelphia Phillies. And that leaves Craig Kimbrell, Adam Ottavino, Zach Britton, and Kelvin Herrera as the top options on the free agent market other than David Robertson. So out of that group there... Well, first of all, I guess, what do you guys think about the David Robertson signing? Are you disappointed he didn't sign with the Sox? And then out of this group of four guys, who do you think is most likely to sign, if any of these guys, with the Red Sox? Brian, why don't we go to you first?
I like Robertson. He's good. It's hard to... be too upset when what is he, like a tier 1.5 reliever, probably? Like, he could be
a closer in the right situation, and a setup guy in other situations, a very good one. If any given one of them doesn't side with the Red Sox when he's as for the way the rest of it goes, I think that the subtext, the first level of subtext is your question is, will they still go after a top level reliever, aka Kimball or Adafino? And I think that the answer is yes. And then the second level is, will they go after Adafino and make you the happiest boy in the world? And my sense has been that they probably prefer Kimbrel, but that's just based on total feel. I have no idea. And I think it's based on the only thing I think is based on is how they valued the players who were on the team this year. So even with Kimbrel's struggles, everything is relative when you win the World Series by a country mile and beat the shit out of the entire league. So I think that probably Kimbrel is still winning.
Matt, is that the way you're leaning too?
Yeah, I think they're getting Kimbrel. I mean, it seemed like it was pretty much just the Red Sox and Phillies that were really looking at Kimbrel, and now the Phillies are probably out. At least their concentration is probably going towards Machado and or Harper. So Kimbrel's market's really kind of drying out. I think he's going to get a smaller deal, way smaller than what we were expecting at the beginning of the offseason. And I mean, I don't think there's any question he's the best of this group. The more I thought about it, the more I was thinking Kimbrel or Robertson are bust. So Robertson's gone. I think they have to get Kimbrel. I think it's a massive step back if they get somebody other than Kimbrel.
So do you guys see a clear delineation between the Kimbrel-Ottavino side and the Zach Britton-Kelvin Herrera side? Or do you think that there's a big difference between Kimbrel and all three of these guys? Ottavino, Britton, and Herrera are pretty comparable.
I would say Kimbrel, big gap. Ottavino, pretty big gap. And then Herrera, I would probably put Cody Allen ahead of Zach Britton. I don't really want any part of Zach Britton.
Interesting. But even though both of those guys have struggled, you still feel better about Allen?
Yeah, Britton just hasn't stayed healthy. I don't know. There's just something that scares me. I don't think Allen was quite as bad as you kind of remember. And I feel like Britton's getting a lot of buzz for what he was a few years ago and not what he has been the last couple of years. I can see myself eating those words. There's something about him that really scares me. But, I mean, I would put him and Allen and Herrera all in a tier behind Ottavino.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that there's a lot to the fact that Kimbrel has this track record of just being, you know, pretty much the best reliever of all time through this point in his career, you know, relative to other people that have been this age, you know, at this time. But the thing about Kimbrel that I've heard a lot of people talk about, and I think I've seen you talk about this too, Matt, is that he missed that spring training because of the illness going on with his daughter. So how much do you think that actually played into the struggles that he had this year? Because I've seen a few people talk about that.
I mean, I don't know how you can really pin down like an exact percentage or whatever. I think it had some effect. I don't think it was like the majority of the reason or anything. I just don't think it's something you can discount. I mean, his control is a bit of an issue, but when Ottavino's the other big option, I mean, they both have control issues, so I think you got to kind of go beyond that.
As a parent, I'll tell you that obviously I'm not a professional athlete. I have two Queens stickball titles, but that's a totally different story, which I'm very happy to tell. But it's inconceivable to me that he can do even what he did, given what he's been through. And it's not, I'm not overstating it, because if your kid is sick, you don't, everything else is second. So I understand that with him. Now, the thing with Kimbrel is that to be an effective closer, you also have to just be a lunatic, and he is. So that exists. That's not pushed aside at all. But if you're talking about kids being sick affecting performance, yes. I can't imagine it does not.
So if they are able to get something done with Kimbrel here, guys, and you think it's going to be much smaller, obviously, than the ridiculous starting point of 6 and 100 that was talked about way at the beginning. Do you think it's going to be like 3-4 years? What are we thinking for a contract length here for Kimbrel?
4 max. Maybe 3 and an option. I feel like he'll get his 4th year, but
he won't do fewer than 3, and they won't do more than 4, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be at least a chance for a 4th year, I think, but I don't know if it's going to be guaranteed. Gun to my head, I would probably say he gets 4 guaranteed.
I could live with that.
You could live with someone putting a gun to Matt's head?
As long as we get Kimbrel, that's fine.
Fair enough. I'm willing to die for that.
All right, so thinking outside the box a little bit, if the Red Sox were not to sign one of these guys, say Philly goes nuts, signs Kimbrel, someone else grabs Ottavino, and they don't want anything to do with these other guys, I listed a few trade possibilities here. A couple guys from the Pirates, Felipe Vasquez and Keon Kayla. From the Padres, Kirby Yates, Strom, and Craig Stammen. From the Giants, Tony Watson and Will Smith. And Jose Leclerc from Texas. Any of those guys stick out?
Leclerc's not going anywhere.
You don't think so?
I would put a gun to my head for Leclerc, but I don't think they're going to trade him.
He's filthy, isn't he?
He's very good. He's very young, too. He's only like 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah, he's 25 right now.
Yeah.
I like Matt Strom, but I don't think Padres are.
They're trying him as a starter again, I believe, so I don't think they're going to trade him.
I think this is their plan the whole time. I had him in Dynasty Baseball, so I paid particular attention, but it seems like their plan the whole time was to slowly bring him up to start. I wrote Free Over the Monster that they should get him as a reliever a couple months ago. I now recant that. Sorry, listeners.
Yeah, you're fired. I think if any of these teams are going to be sellers, I think the Pirates and the Giants kind of make the most sense out of these, because it seems like the Padres are sort of inching closer to contention, and you mentioned how much Texas likes Leclerc here. It seems like the Pirates, with one of these two guys who have closer stuff in Felipe Vasquez and Keon Kayla, are the most likely to do something. Do you guys like either of those guys a good bit?
Yeah, I love both of them. I have no idea what the Pirates are doing, though. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they traded him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they just try and make a run at being, like, weirdly in the middle, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what they're doing. They have pretty good
teams. Anything the Pirates do, like, they made the play. And once they made the playoffs after, like, 20 years, there's, like, Bill Simmons, who... whatever, talked about like the championship, like the 5-year thing. For the Pirates, just making the playoffs, 5 years. And now they're so aimless and sad and pathetic.
They have like the worst owner in sports.
Yeah. So let's just take all their stuff.
That's a team I could easily see being last place in that division at this point. And they also have, you know, if they were to trade one of those guys in Felipe Vasquez or Kayla, they have a lot of other options in that bullpen that could step up as well. They actually have a pretty decent unit there. So I don't know. That I team would think looks that, rough.
Yeah, I would think that those are probably guys, at least one of them, could be dangled at the trade deadline. I would be a little surprised, I guess, if they got traded before the season. But it's certainly not impossible.
So it seems like you guys think that it's much more likely that they sign somebody than trade for somebody at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, I kind of like Shane Green on the Tigers. He's not quite the caliber as the other guys you're talking about, but I mean, the Tigers are obviously rebuilding. He's a closer, kind of a ground ball guy. If they wanted to add a second guy to like an elite guy they signed in free agency, I would love Shane Green.
Let me ask you this. You think it's more likely that they either trade for somebody if they don't sign someone, or they just stand pat and go with what they've got? Because they have a decent amount of depth in the bullpen.
I think they trade for somebody, but maybe I think it would be someone like Shane Green, not like a Kayla or a Vasquez or somebody of that caliber, where they'd be giving up multiple top prospects. I think they want to hang on to the top of their farm system, if possible.
Okay.
Because it's not good anyway. I mean, it's not great.
They got a lot of good, like, second-tier guys. And Chavis is a top 100 guy. So.
I think that the value proposition, I think this is what you're saying, is the value proposition is.
Yeah, I don't think they want to trade Chavis. I don't think they want to trade Diamonds and Hernandez, who's not even, I don't know, depending on who you ask, he might not even be a top 5 guy in the system, but I know they really like him. So I think they want to hold on to like their top 5-ish guys.
Pirates call up and say Felipe Vasquez for Chavis and Darwin's in. Do you say yes or no?
No.
Who?
Vasquez for Chavis and Darwin's in Hernandez.
I mean, my first instinct is yeah, but I really haven't looked at Felipe Vasquez in a long time.
He's a lefty, too.
I say no. And Chavis is, first of all, he's like your only guy to trade. Maybe not your only guy, but he's a big trade chip. There are many relievers, like many. If you want someone that badly who's that good, just go get Ottavino. Don't
mess
with it then. Do it now. Don't wait until you're in the position. My point is, like, if you think you're going to find yourself in that position, don't get yourself in that position.
Yeah, I would say the better option is to sign somebody. But
now I'm looking at it. Vasquez has a really nice contract under control through 2023. Yeah, I would do it.
He's really good.
He is very good.
I say that. He's very good. You trade Chavis, that's it. You can't trade him a second time.
He's such a tweener, though, and Felipe Vasquez might help you win this year. I mean, he certainly would help you win this year.
There are many players who can help you win this year, but you can only trade Chavis once. That is nothing to do. What I'm saying almost has nothing to do with it. You can only trade him once. So just be judicious. Like, if they did that trade in July or June, I'm fine with that. That's cool. But I wouldn't do it now. That's me. I'm not Dave Dombrowski. I don't have hair.
All right. So moving off of the bullpen stuff here, nothing has been done to shore up second base or to clear up the catcher position. They still haven't traded any of those guys. We're still kind of expecting that they might trade one of these catchers, but Matt, when we last talked, you seemed to think it would be closer to spring training if they did anything.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be during spring training. Just make sure none of your guys suffer a major injury. Maybe the trade market gets a little bit better if another team suffers a major injury. Either way, they're not getting a ton for these guys, so there's no need to rush into it. Like, it's not like they're getting their bullpen answer by trading one of these guys, unless they're like the fourth piece in it or whatever.
Right. Okay. All right, final thing before we get to some listener questions here. Curt Schilling. Brian, I'm going to ask you here. Does Curt Schilling belong in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
This whole question is an object lesson in why the Hall of Fame is fucking stupid. Have you been to the Hall of Fame?
The plaques are stupid. The rest of the Hall of Fame is pretty dope.
That's what I'm saying. The plaques are the whole thing about being in the Hall of Fame. If you go to the museum, there's a room. There are plaques in it. It is a quiet room. It just has plaques in it. It's boring. That's literally being in the Hall of Fame. The rest of the Hall of Fame is a museum that fucking rules. And you know who's in that? Kid Rose, Barry Bonds, and Joe Jackson. It's just a museum of baseball that just talks about what actually happened. It kicks ass. So, honestly, from the first time I went to the actual Hall of Fame, I give a shit about this. Curt Schilling, his stats, I don't give a fuck what happens to Curt Schilling. That's what it comes into for me.
I'm pretty much with you. I'm not a big Hall of Fame guy either. But he is somebody I've been thinking about. If I had a ballot, he would not be on mine. But that's because I think there's 10 other deserving Hall of Famers. And if you're going to eliminate deserving Hall of Famers, you might as well start with the bigots and work your way from there. I'm with you. I don't really care if he makes it. I'm not going to be mad if he doesn't.
The NFL has it right, man. The NFL just inducts everybody. Just induct everybody. That's my opinion. And then
I think all Hall of Fames suck. But I think anybody
Matt, excuse me. It's Halls of
Fame. I'm sorry. I think anybody that doesn't vote for a steroid guy using the character clause as their reason and does vote for Curt Schilling is a fraud. That's my one Curt Schilling take.
I disagree.
If you're gonna use something called the character clause and you're gonna vote for overt racist, then something's out of whack with the character clause.
So I agree with that point about the character clause thing, but I think that there's a difference between cheating on the baseball field and being a dickhead off the baseball field.
Okay, but Jake, here's my only... I'm just going to try to, like, step in here. We've talked about this stuff. The degree... I feel like we're not going to agree on the basics here. Like, we know where each other stands.
Right.
The question is not what we think about the Hall of Fame, what we think about Curt Schilling in relation. So in that sense, do you think you should be?
I do. I mean, I think that Jay Jaffe did a really good job of spelling it out in his recent article on his candidacy. You know, if you look at... If you just go by what you've seen with your eyes from Curt Schilling when he was on the baseball field and by numbers and war and, you know, all these different things that matter, strikeouts, he's certainly a deserving Hall of Famer. the one thing that's a little bit low with him is the wins totals. But at the same time, I mean, he's 16th all-time in strikeouts. You know, he's got...
He's 16th all-time in strikeouts?
Yeah, he's got well over 3,000 strikeouts.
You say the wins thing, though, but, like, all we've been trying to do for a decade and a half is to have people stop paying attention to wins.
Yeah, I'm with you. But that's why it doesn't bother me that much, because relative to other pitchers that were playing at the time, he's certainly better. His career WAR is 79.6. The average Hall of Famer's starting pitcher is 73.9. So he's above that. His peak WAR is a little bit lower than the average Hall of Famer, but you know he's above the Jaws rating system that Jaffe uses, and you know he's just been ridiculous throughout the playoffs. I think I have the numbers here somewhere. But the playoff numbers as a whole for him are just unbelievable. And we saw what he did in 2001. We saw what he did in 2004. He's awesome. Yeah, here it is. He was 11-2 with a 2.23 ERA in 133.1 postseason innings, covering 19 starts, helping his teams win 4 pennants and 3 championships. In the World Series alone, he was 4-1 with a 2.06 ERA. That's a Hall of Famer to me.
I don't think there's any question he's good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. And I mean, if I had a hypothetical ballot with unlimited spots, he would be on mine. I just think if you're going to have to limit to 10, you're going to have to get rid of some guys who deserve to be on the ballot. And I would start with him because I don't like him. I think he's a bad person. But
I mean, he's frankly, good enough. And frankly, like, they can't. He has known the whole time what the deal is. The whole time. So
yeah, this isn't a guy who's just said one bad thing one time. He's very much leaned into being human garbage.
Yeah, he's definitely been a bad person for the last little bit here. You know, certainly since he's been out of the game, he's been more outspoken in a way that's been mostly negative. But I do want to point out one of the things.
Jake, hold on.
Yeah.
He was very, very, very vocal because the Red Sox won the World Series on, I believe it was a Wednesday night. And on the following Tuesday, George W. Bush was reelected president. And in the intervening days, Kurt Schilling went to New Hampshire to politic. Now, those are not my politics. It's not going to surprise anybody. But he was very active about it, is my point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. He's always been active about his politics. But
so, by the way, the Patriots on that Sunday in between, they lost their winning streak, their historical winning streak. A lot happened in a week. It was a big, big week.
Well, at least he'll always have in 1996 being named baseball's most caring athlete for the work that he did with Lou Gehrig's disease. So, you know, he's not all bad. Not 100%.
Have you seen his rookie cards?
It's only like 98% bad.
Have you seen his rookie cards with the Orioles? He has this thin stash. It's amazing.
Apparently, he also had a blue streak in his hair and one single earring for a time. So that's quite a look. Yeah, early in his career. Apparently, that was a thing.
I got a
look. Oh, it was a thing, Jay. Believe me, I don't remember.
Yep. So I recommend the article, but he's an interesting case. Either way, at the end of the day, do you think he ends up surpassing the threshold and getting in?
What year?
He'll get in at some point, I think. But it's just
matters. He'll get in the Veterans Committee, whether he makes it in the first 10 or not. But I don't. What? How many more years does he have? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Like 2, 3. I think he'll get in.
He's gone up the last. He went up last year, so he dropped down in 2017, and then he went up last year to pretty close. And right now, the projections for him are around 76%. So.
Oh. If he's there, yes, he's 100% going to get in at some point.
Yeah, I think he's going
to. Got to hear both sides, Jake. You got to hear both sides.
Is Rivera going to get unanimous?
No, it's already been somebody.
That Worcester guy, right?
Yep, Bill Ballew.
Fuck, Jake. I think that was you.
Hold on. Matt?
What?
I said no, but I didn't mean no, because fuck Jake when something happens in Worcester is the correct answer. So thank you for that.
Hey, man. I didn't know about it. He didn't consult me.
When Martha's Vineyard fucks things up, you can blame me, but go ahead.
All right. Let's get to some listener questions here. Our first one comes from Frederick Ambrosino. He says, happy holidays to the whole Red Seat crew. Question for the next podcast. Were you surprised no team signed Hanley after the Red Sox released him? What are the odds he'll announce his retirement on the day he receives his World Series ring? And he adds, thanks for the podcast. I never miss one. So thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. What do you guys think? Hanley, first of all, were you surprised he didn't get signed? I wasn't, because of all the kind of extra stuff.
I was.
That wasn't true, though.
Because the Red Sox wouldn't have had to pay him, right? He could have signed a league minimum deal somewhere.
No, they would have to pay him. They would have to pay him if they owed him.
No, I'm sorry, the new team wouldn't have to pay him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they'd have to pay him the minimum, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought he was
in. I don't think he wanted to play.
I mean,
he was on a boat like 2 days after.
That's what I'm saying. I think he was enjoying his time off. But he's playing next year.
They are very nice. They're very nice.
He's been working out like crazy. He wants to play next year. I don't know if anybody's going to sign him, but he wants to.
I don't think anybody signs him.
I think somebody signs him. It might not be on this continent, but it might be on.
I don't know if he'll go to Japan.
I'm not saying he'll go to Japan. Okay.
Yeah.
Signs him might be an overstatement, but I think he receives overtures from around the world.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe he'll go play in Korea.
Baseball's better with Hanley. We need some Hanley.
Imagine his bat flips in the Korean League, though.
Oh, my God. I would move to Korea.
All we need is China to start baseball leagues and be serious about it. And then, like, Hanley can go be like, Stefan Marbury is a god. He's a god. He's a god. And he loves it. Hanley can do that. He can do
it. So I heard that Steph Curry's name translated into Mandarin is something like Steph Skyfucker.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's wonderful. Yeah, it's like it's a pun. It's like if you said like, oh, what is this? Any Asiatic person's name? And it's like, oh, that person's name is like Stephen Skyfucker. And you're like,
Nicki Minaj is the spicy chicken.
She's a spicy chicken.
She's a spicy. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I love Chinese athlete names. All right, let's go for the next one. Termadu Amadoum says, since our farm is so ill-evaluated, do you believe that the current players that are in it would have good value playing for the Sox instead of having good value as prospects or trade chips? Matt, you want to take this one?
I mean, I think it depends who you're talking about. I think I love Chavis. I'm like one of the higher guys on Chavis. I think he's better as a trade chip because they don't really have anywhere to play him. I don't really buy him as a first baseman. I think he's a little small for that. But then you have guys like Darwinson and Travis Lakins and Dermot Feltman. They have a lot of guys that could be really interesting relievers that are probably better kept, because I don't think other teams really value relief prospects. So, like any other farm system, you have some guys that you should trade and some guys that you could keep. It's just, on the whole, they're not as good as other teams.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing them trade both Chavis and Bobby Dalbec and try and just develop that young duo of Northcutt and Howlett. So they're actually pretty deep at third base in the minor leagues at this point.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. I just can't figure out Dalbec.
Yeah.
I trade him. My thing is that I feel like if anyone, don't trade him for nothing, but if somebody wants to offer you the sort of wide-eyed value for him, just do it.
Yeah, his value is never going to be higher than it is right now, I don't think.
I don't know if that's true. It might be true, but I mean, if he makes like one small tweak and improves his contact even a little bit, that dude's going to skyrocket in value.
Yeah, but no, I don't think there's any way you can say it's his highest value. Apologies, Jake, just because he is still young. And his positives are off the charts. That's why. So if he could make some adjustments to his name. At the same time, I think that he's still a better trade asset than he is an investment asset.
Yeah, I would agree.
He might be. I mean, he's definitely not untouchable. That's for sure.
Next question comes from Eduardo Galindo Jr., and he says, a complete hypothetical just for kicks because it'll never happen, but how do you think the team would line up if Bryce Harper signed with the Sox? Trade JBJ, move Mookie to second permanently. What say you? I guess I'll tackle this one first. If the Sox sign Bryce, I think Bryce goes to left. Mookie goes to stays where he is, and I think that Benintendi plays center and that they trade JBJ.
I think this is obnoxious roster baiting, and I'm totally here for it. I think most likely in this unlikely scenario is that Bradley would get traded. I think Mookie would move to center and Harper would go to right. But I would kill for them to sign Bryce Harper and then move Mookie to second. That would just be the greatest thing that's ever happened.
It's not going
to happen. No, of course it's not going to happen. I'm just saying.
You know, I was thinking about this a little bit before the show started. In last year, right around this time when we were talking about Bryce being a free agent, all three of us said that we thought that Dave Dombrowski would be in on him. And now Dave is not anywhere close to being in on him. And none of us think that's weird.
I don't think we saw the Red Sox having like the best season in at least 20 years.
I mean, it's the best Red Sox season of all time. It's not up for debate, I don't think. And it kicked all sorts of ass. So I hear you, Jake, but I don't.
Yep, I'm fine with it, too. All right, next one comes from Iowa Farmhoy, and he says, the annual Rusney Castillo update. Still in the minors. Still not coming up. Still
same highly as paid.
Yeah.
I think this sucks. Like, I don't feel, it's hard to feel bad for him with the money he's raking in, but still. I just want to know what he could do in the majors.
I feel bad about players like him.
I feel bad.
Another guy like Kayagawa. I don't know. There was a very passed around New York Times story about Kayagawa, who he lived in Manhattan because he got all the money the Yankees were paying him. But he played in Scranton and every morning he got up.
Castillo lives in Boston.
He took a limo for 2.5 hours to Scranton. He went and did the game. He took a limo back to Manhattan. And he did that every day and he never complained. He just did the thing. And that's a better scenario than Rusney's in, but it's just like the, I don't even know if quad A covers it. It's like 3.75A, I think. And these players try to do what they can with dignity, but it's tough because they're just not good enough.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but the Red Sox just won 100.
Do we know that he's not good enough? I don't think he is either, but I mean, it's not even really like his performance that's held him back. It's the money.
Well, he didn't play well when he was up here.
No, but that was a couple of years ago. I mean, if he, let me put it this way, if he didn't have that contract, he would have been up to get a shot at some point.
Yeah, but if he was good, he'd be up also. That's the other part of it.
Yeah, I don't think he's good either. I think he deserves a shot. I kind of feel bad that you worked your whole life, and then he really only had one stint where he really got a chance in the majors. He was bad, and then now he's never going to get another chance. But
Matt, I worked my whole life. He's also got a lot of money. And now I do a podcast with you. So what? How do you think?
Well, I think really his contract expires in, like, what, 2020? And then he's...
It's 2020, but he's old at that point. I mean, I don't expect he's going to do it.
He's
old.
I mean, he could sign somewhere. He's going to be, like, 30.
Oh, yeah, he can sign. Yeah. He'll sign somewhere. But he can opt out after this year, but he's obviously not going to.
He should. He's made a lot of money.
He's going to get a big hit in the World Series in 2024, and that's his entire...
I can deal with that.
That's the best case scenario.
All right, next one here comes from Mike Toomey, and he says, Kluber's contract is so good, and he's so good, and the Indians are looking to compete now. Could a deal get done for either Chavis or Devers or Swihart or Vasquez plus Erod, something like that? I don't think that Chavis would get it done. Devers might get it done. Swihart or Vasquez plus Erod might get it done, but probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Devers is a really nice... I don't know how the league feels about Devers right now, to be honest with you.
No, I feel like they feel good about Devers. It's just that it's easy for us to think that, like, oh, the Kluber's available, maybe the price will be lower than maybe we can get a deal. I don't think you're going to get something that is a giant deal. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to happen. No matter what, I don't think Kluber's coming.
If they were to include Chavis, Vasquez, and Erod
for Kluber, why do they want Vasquez?
Well, they don't have a catcher right now.
Chavis, Vasquez, and Erod?
Why? Okay, that's fine. Why do they want Vasquez?
Yeah, why would Cleveland do that?
Well, I don't know.
That would be an all-time disaster trade.
I mean, if you think that you have control for Erod and Vasquez there, and then like 6 years of control for Chavis or whatever it's going to be, that's not bad.
That's awful.
I mean, I'd be pissed if I was a Cleveland fan and that happened. So
you could do better than that from another team.
Yeah.
A team with like no prospects.
I would hope so, man.
If I was an Indian fan,
all of a sudden down on Erod, huh?
I'm not down. I love Erod. But listen,
I love you, Rod.
Corey Kluber is like a elite of the elite. You got to do better than that.
Well, I would do it if they were interested.
I would do. Oh yeah, I would drive everybody to the airport.
Free snacks. All right, Mike Marr has the next question. He says, who, if anyone, could you see being moved in a deal this offseason, even if such a move is unlikely? I'm guessing he means from the Major League roster?
Yeah, well, I think that you probably thought about that more than he did. No, but seriously, I think that's correct. Yes, the Major League roster. And it's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the catchers is the most obvious.
Yeah, that's the easy answer.
Other than that...
Brian Johnson?
Yeah, maybe Brian Johnson. I mean, I don't want to say... Embry. I think we missed all those shitty rumors about Xander Bogaerts while we were on hiatus for the holidays.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I'm really happy those ended after a day. So, yeah, probably a catcher. All right, next one comes from Brandon. He says, when do you think they'll erect the statue of Bobby Valentine standing in the dugout watching starting pitchers implode and refuse to take them out? This is custom made for Brian.
When do I think they will make it? I mean, this person is imagined, okay? This person wrote you this question. But before they wrote you this question, they thought about it in their head. They knew exactly what it looked like. What I would tell this person to do is put it on paper. Show us what it looks like. Don't ask us. You are the vessel. Help us properly represent this moment, because I don't want to do anything.
Well said. I like it. Jake Kostick has our next question. He says, what is self-worth anyways? That's for you, Matt.
Well, let's see. Let's Google self-worth. Self-worth, another term for self-esteem. There you go.
So what's it worth?
Myself?
Yeah, your self-worth. What's it worth?
Oh, I didn't see the second worth. I don't know. A $5 lottery ticket?
Can you get those Red Sox tickets?
Matt, do you play the lottery?
When I lived in Mass, I played quite a bit. I don't play too much anymore. I still do. I worked at a convenience store, and I worked in an area that played a lot of lottery, so I got a lot of tips, and I would put half my tips into the lottery. I won $1,000 one time.
Oh, nice. I thought you meant you got tips on the lottery and wanted to be like, Matt.
No, I got like cash tips.
My dude.
Matt, here's a question for you. Are you a psychopath if you don't do a quick pick every time?
No. I don't play those games, but no. I mean, if you have numbers, you have a better shot if you do a quick pick, but I don't know. If you have numbers that you feel good about, you have chances are astronomical anyways, whatever.
Every cop in New York plays his badge. Anybody name that movie?
I'm going to guess Donnie Brasco. I'm just guessing.
Die Hard 3.
That's a good one, though, because that has the water jugs. That's so good.
That's right.
That's my favorite part.
That's a great one. It's a great park. It's a great park scene. The elephant, the water jugs there.
Yeah.
4 gallons with the 5 and the 3 gallon jug.
I spent a lot of stone time in that park.
Nice. Next question comes from Smokey Rains, and he says, not much cracking. What's the ideal bullpen as of now for opening day using free agents? Next, Brazier, minors players, etc. What's the opening day bench look like? Man.
I'm guessing that we can't add Ottavino and Kim. That would be.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that probably not both. I think maybe what we should do is make it without one of those guys right now, right? Because we can assume that one is going to sign, and then that Brazier, Barnes are going to be there.
Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I say, okay? You know what happens when you assume?
You're usually right.
You're usually right. I've said this before. Okay, go for it.
I would go one of the signees, Brazier, Barnes, Hembry, Workman, Johnson.
I don't think they love Hembry that much, man.
Well, he re-signed. He
did
arbitration.
He's missing one.
I would probably go.
That's only six guys.
Brewer with the last spot.
Brewer.
I mean, so Lakins you can keep down. I don't think much of Putnam or Thornburg, and I don't think Feltman's ready yet. So.
Well, Velasquez.
I think Velasquez, right, because he has options, is going to be down in AAA.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wright will be in there if he's healthy.
Yeah, he could be. They seem to like Brewer, though.
They're going with a six-man rotation to start the year. So that matters.
I think if you're going with a long guy, you go with Johnson, though, because he's out of options.
That's what she said.
So is Wright, though.
Right.
God damn it.
But Wright might not be ready.
Yeah, that is true.
So, all right, next one here.
I think Pointer would make it over Brewer.
You do?
Throw that out there. Yes.
That's music.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think that.
Especially because Pointer, I don't know anything about
Brewer. I think Bobby Pointer would definitely make it over Brewer. What Matt said sounds right to me.
All right. Next question comes from Hiya Georgie. And he says, will Carson Smith end up on the team come April? Brian, is he there?
I don't know about come April, but I think that at some point during the year, yeah, probably. I think at some point during the year he'll be on.
Matt, what do you think?
Well, I don't think he's going to be ready for the start of spring training, so I'd say definitely not in April. I don't think we're ever going to see him pitch for the Red Sox again.
I don't either. I think he's going to be at home sniffing his glove.
I don't think that's going to happen either. I think he's going to be with another team.
Next one, Ben Jacobson. Do you think that the Red Sox should try and acquire a bullpen piece like Raisel Iglesias or Amir Garrett or some other solid reliever that way rather than sign one in free agency? Doesn't seem to be many viable candidates left that the Sox are connected to. Well, we already talked about a few viable candidates, and Raisel and Amir Garrett are playing for a team that just traded for a bunch of guys, so I don't know. And they extended Raisel.
Extreme issue with the idea that there aren't many viable candidates left.
Yeah.
There's one of the two best relievers that have ever lived.
Yeah, Adam Ottavino is really good.
Fuck you, Jake.
Jake, Pointer is under contract already. You understand that, right?
Yeah, we've already named two of the greatest relievers of all time with Pointer and Ottavino. Yeah. Next one comes from Coach Murphy. He says, I saw you all mention Cody Allen. It's reasonable. Haven't read the article yet. Who would you prefer out of Ottavino, Britton, and Kimbrel? Matt, you're going Kimbrel, Ottavino, Britton. Brian, you're going Kimbrel, Ottavino, Britton?
I feel like that's the only. Well, hold on. Are you going Ottavino over Kimbrel?
You are right, Brian.
No, I understand. No. We know what I'm saying. The only question is what Jake is saying.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
I think that's batshit insane.
It is batshit insane.
I
agree.
I've thought about this like basically every day since the last time we recorded, and I get more and more angry at the thought of you picking Ottavino over Kimbrel, contracts not included.
Yeah, no, it's completely insane. I know it is.
And as long as you recognize that.
I'm just doing it basically to troll Matt at this point.
It's working. I'm taking over my life.
Next one here comes from Daniel Stapleton. He says, how much do Xander and Mookie sign for eventually? Ugh. I'm going to say Xander gets 180. Like, he gets the deal that Trout got when he was a rookie.
That seems crazy low, but you might.
No.
I mean, you might be right. I don't know what's going on anymore.
No. He's getting way more than that.
I think
because he wants way more than that. He wants the money, and Mookie is going to get. I mean, if Mookie puts up anything resembling what he did last year, Mookie's contract is going to be preposterous, and the Red Sox are going to pay it. They should.
Mookie's getting 400.
I think so, too. I think he gets 4.
Bogaerts, I don't know. I have no idea. He should get, like, 250 at least.
Are the Red Sox going to be the team to sign him, though?
They better. I don't know.
They got to sign
him. I mean, you say that, but... they have to not sign somebody.
No, they don't.
That's
they're going to not sign somebody, but
okay.
Everybody.
I've been owned because that is true.
Yeah, they're very important to try to make mainstream. The difference between you can't sign everybody and they won't sign everybody.
I do wonder, though, with Xander Bogaerts, he has had a little inconsistency in his career, even though he's been largely a great player. But the defense at shortstop is not anything special. It's gotten a little bit better over the years. But I wonder if that will cap how some teams look at him. Especially with, you know, shortstop being a pretty damn good offensive position right now, which is kind of strange to say, but there are a lot of good options there.
It depends. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. Like, if he goes out and repeats what he did in 2018 and 2019, I don't think any of that's going to matter. If he doesn't, then yeah, that's more of a concern for teams, I would guess.
All right, so our last three questions come from Matt, Keith Cato, and Keegan Ernest, and they all ask about the bullpen, but essentially all these kind of talked about Kimbrel, Ottavino, bullpen solutions. I want to get to Keith Cato's question here, though, because he said, why didn't the Red Sox go harder for Robertson, and who do you think they'll get instead? So we already kind of addressed the who we think they'll get, but why do you think they didn't push a little bit harder for Robertson? Because it's not like he got that much money. 2 years and 23.5 seems like something that would have been pretty much perfect for the Red Sox wheelhouse right now for what they were looking for.
I just feel like they're a lot of relievers. You know, it's...
I think they're getting Kimbrel. Okay. I think all their focus is on getting Kimbrel.
And to that point, like, don't you think that at this point, obviously we're in a whole new universe about the way these things work, that they know that?
Yeah, I mean, it was annoying how long they waited for Martinez last year.
But they knew that, for them. And, like, they yeah. knew that.
I think they knew there wasn't a market.
Speaking, it seems like they knew that.
Yeah, I mean, they knew there wasn't a market for Martinez. It seems like they know there's not a market for Kimbrel right now. It feels way too similar to last year.
The latest tweet from Drellick says that the market is insanely low right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a good sign. That's not what you want to see if you're Kimbrel. So.
No, I mean, it sucks for him. It's good for the Red Sox, so.
Yep, some good can come out of it. At least. Maybe another World Series. That'd be nice. All right, gentlemen, that wraps up this show. We will be coming back to you guys on a more regular schedule every couple weeks in the off season, unless some big news breaks. You can go ahead and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also rate and review us there. Log on and give us some positive feedback. And then... you can follow us all on Twitter. You can follow Matt on Twitter at MattRYCollins. You can follow Brian on Twitter at @BrianJoiner, Brian with a Y, Joiner with an I. You can follow me on Twitter at @DevJake, and you can follow the Over the Monster Twitter handle at @OverTheMonster for all your latest Red Sox news. Thanks again for staying with us for the download, and we'll be with you next time.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.